Well, guess what? God told me this morning we're not talking about there's no meat on a butterfly. You know, it's amazing how God leads in sometimes different ways. We will get to this message, honestly. This morning, just the way our Sunday school class went, the missionary's message there, everything is, God wants us to look at our lives this morning. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about a man who we often view as very strong, but who faced a lot of fears, and that's Peter. Peter faced a lot of fears in his life. And I look at that, and I look over the time when we view Peter, and we look at Peter, and we say, man, Peter had it all together, right? Yeah, I mean, he really did. He was called the rock. But you know what? Rock is made out of sand and mud and time. And Peter had fears, and Peter had things that bothered him. And we look over the scripture, and we can see that there was a time when Peter jumped out of the boat because, man, he was anxious to go. He wanted to serve God, and he saw Jesus coming across the water, and he said, oh, I want to be with you. And he starts out, and what did he do? Took his eyes off Jesus. And his eyes coming off of Jesus, what happened? We see there was fear in his life. Then we can look at the next time that we see this tremendous fear, and it's when, you know, Jesus told Peter, he said, you're going to deny me three times. Peter said, I never, ever, come on, man. I love you. I love you too much to deny you. And they came and they said, you were with Jesus. You were, and what happened? Fear overtook him. And he said, not me. Uh-uh, no way. That's not me. And so many times we look at Peter and his life, and we see how fear entered in. But the man in this morning's video said it all. And this is what I'm going to focus on this morning, is fear causes us not to change. Fear causes us not to change. So we're going to look at Acts chapter 10 this morning, just briefly. I know it's not up there. I know we don't have it there, but it's Acts chapter 10, and we're going to read from verse 9 to verse 16. For those of you that were in Sunday school class, we touched on this a little bit this morning, and God just kind of seems to be prompting me to talk a little bit more about it. On the next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. But he became hungry, and he was desiring to eat. But while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance, and he saw the sky opened up, and an object like a great sheet coming down, lowered by four corners to the ground, and there were in all kinds of it, of four-footed animals, crawling creatures of the earth, birds of the air. A voice came to him, and get up, Peter, kill and eat. And Peter said, by no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything holy and unclean. Again, a voice came to him a second time. What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy. And this happened three times, and immediately the object was taken up to the sky. Now, Peter was greatly perplexed about this, okay? He thought about this, and he looked at this, and he said, what is this all about? God, why would you do this to me? Peter's fear in this passage was not the fear of God and what God was showing him. It was the fear of changing his mind because he was based on the laws of Judaism. And so those laws were what caused him to be who he was in his mind. Now think about that. Think about that. The laws caused him to be who he was in his mind. See, I can stand down here because I definitely have no notes prepared for this. So this is off the cuff, off the head, off the, you know, whatever God puts in the mouth is going to come out. So be aware. I'm warning you. But Peter was driven by his preconceived notions of what God wanted for him. And they were preconceived. He was grown. He grew up in a Jewish church. And I do have some notes. I got to get it. It's my little Hall's Mentholyptus cover. And I opened one of these because I have a little bit of a sore throat. I opened one of these while that guy was talking. And I'm sitting here. And I don't know if you've ever looked at the Hall's. This is honey and lemon. Or no, this is the fruit flavored one. But on the Hall's covers, anybody ever read them? Anybody here take Hall's cough drops once in a while? You never read the covers? Oh my goodness. Well, here, let me show you what it says. It says a pep talk in every drop. And here's the pep talk that I got while I was listening to that guy this morning. Okay, well, I didn't know who he was and he didn't introduce himself. Okay, sorry. All right, the president. Now, I'm not going to call him the president, man, because I'll think of Obama, and that'll really throw things off. Okay. On the video this morning, as he was talking, I took out a cough drop. And on this one, it says, there is nothing you can't handle. Be unstoppable. Power through. Push on. What a pep talk. And it went right with what he was saying. Okay? And think about it. We let fear and our preconceived notions of what God has in line for us stop us from using the power of God to reach other people. And that's what happened with Peter. Here was Peter, and he was sitting there, and he had this dream. And down comes the sheet, and there's everything on it that... Everything on it that Peter looked at and said, man, this is bad. And God said, well, eat. Come on, you're hungry. He fell asleep. He was still dreaming about eating. You know? And God said, eat. And Peter says, no way, God. You know that I've always kept the rules. We have the fear of not doing the right thing so often that it makes us not do the right thing. Think about it. Peter's fear here was, no, I cannot eat of that stuff because it's not the right thing. Based on what? Had God told him that? No. The Jewish religion told him that. And so those of us that grew up in a church that had laws and rules and regulations that weren't always scriptural, okay? I grew up in Nazarene church, okay? We weren't allowed to dance, okay? Now, understand something. There was some good concept to that concept, all right? But that's not how they explained it. They just said, you can't do it. They didn't tell you that if a man and woman dances together and they're not married, there can be some things that, you know, attractions and things like that that can happen. And it can lead to sin. Okay, was dancing the sin? No. But see, what the Nazarene church said, you don't do it. Okay? Well, you know what? If we took everything in our life that possibly could lead to temptation out, would we do anything? Would we do anything? And see, so God was telling Peter here, he says, Peter, he says, I'm telling you that it's okay. And Peter says, no. Now, we talked a little bit this morning. Isn't it amazing that so many times God had hit Peter upside the head three times? I mean, you know, I look at that. You know, we saw three times that Peter denied. There's a three in there. And God hit Peter so many times. And here he's hitting Peter again. And it says three times. This happened three times. Immediately the object was taken away. And Peter thought about it. He still wasn't convinced. He still didn't. Yeah. And I was thinking about that. And I was thinking about the president's message on fear. And fear of change and fear of what it might do. And as we think about fear in our lives, we do fear things that we may not agree with or understand. And we fear them. We talked this morning, what would happen if 50 bikers in their leathers and their chains and everything else come in and sit down in our midst in our service this morning? What would be the first reaction? Huh? We're all going to jump up and say, we are so glad to have you here to worship with us this morning. Right? No. Fear is going to hit first. Fear is going to hit first. You know, ISIS. Do we fear ISIS? You know, do we fear flying now because so many times we've seen what's happened? Do we fear Muslims? Do we fear other aliens that may be coming in because we don't know if they're Muslims? Do we fear? Fear drives Christianity many, many times. And the reason we aren't successful for God is because we let that fear drive us. And this morning I want you to realize is that, you know, God says there is nothing that I will put in place in your life that I won't give you the strength to handle it. Nothing. So why do we live our lives in fear so much? And I believe it comes down to the one thing is we fear the unknown. I'm going to tell you this morning, there's one thing that is known. God is real. And He is alive. And He has promised that if we love Him and we accept Him and we ask Him into our heart, that He's with us, right? So why fear? Because it's our human nature and it's our mind. And so this morning we have to focus on that fact is that it is our mind telling us to do something instead of our heart. And so we fear other things. We fear other Christians. Are there Christians that aren't just like you? I had to laugh this morning. Unfortunately, there are a whole lot of Christians that aren't like me. I mean, oh no, fortunately. Well, boy, I was really going to get done. We were talking this morning, and I got to laugh at this. I said something in Sunday school, and Jeannie said, oh my goodness, Rick and I were talking about this last night. And I said, yeah, my wife's not here this morning, so. The first Sunday that I preached after, you know, we were without a pastor, and the first Sunday that I preached, I got up and I was getting dressed, and my wife says, are you going to wear a tie? And I looked at her and I said, is it going to make me preach better? Okay. Now understand something. Okay. I grew up wearing ties. I wore ties at work all the time. And I don't have a problem with ties. Except, I don't like to wear a tie when I play the bass. Because sometimes that tie gets in the strings. And I'm bad enough as it is. But if I have something help me be worse, it's really bad. You know? But I looked at it and I said, well, you know, is it going to make me preach better? And she said, no, but I think you should wear a tie. So I went and I got a tie out and I put a tie on. Dave said, maybe it'll make you preach shorter because it will choke you. And I said, no, my shirts are big and loose enough on the, you know, that it wouldn't choke me. It doesn't choke me. Okay. Now, this morning, I wore a sweater and a shirt without a tie. And hopefully I didn't offend you, but Dr. Crow, we and I look alike here. We're just different colors. Okay. Now, I got up and I got this sweater for the funeral this week because I knew that her family, her side of the family, there wasn't going to be anybody in a tie. Okay. And I thought, man, I don't want to go in and make others think that I think I'm better than them because I wore tie and hat. That's not her family on her uncle's side and stuff like that. I told her, I said, if I really wore to the funeral what I wanted to wear to the funeral, I'd wear a clean white t-shirt, even though her uncle never had on a clean white t-shirt. It was always dirty. Okay, her uncle, every time you saw her uncle, he was in a white t-shirt. That's all he wore, was a white t-shirt. Okay? And so I bought a sweater and I said, well, the sweater will make me a little more dressed up and style. I never had a sweater. That's kind of, it looks kind of nice, you know. But I never had a sweater. But I thought, you know, if I go. So I went out the morning of the funeral and I bought a sweater. Okay? And I wore it. And I didn't wear a tie. She said she was sick this morning and she wasn't coming with me, so guess what? I didn't put the tie on under the sweater this morning. I had planned on wearing a sweater anyhow. Well, anyhow, last night, and I'm to blame for this, Rick, because I listened to my wife. Jeannie said, when you preach next time, I think you should wear a tie. Step it up. Step it up. Step it up. Dave, you should wear two. One on each side, so when you turn around, we still think you're talking to us. See, now I'm not saying that's wrong. Yeah, hey, probably next time I'm in here that I don't have a sweater on, I'll have a tie back on. Okay? And that's okay. Like I said, I don't mind ties. But see, the tie doesn't change my heart, does it? That's what I'm getting at. Does that tie, if I'm wearing a tie when I preach on Sunday morning, does that change my heart for God? No. But see, it's one of those things that those of you that grew up in the era where everybody that preached wore a tie, that's just was a symbol of respect in the house of God, right? Yeah, I know. I noticed you had your tie on. He's slicing his tie back there. You want to preach? Oh, no, no, no. You can sit down. What I want you to see here is what the president was talking about, fear of change. And you know what? This is where, and this will tie in to the next time I preach, and it'll be, there's still no meat on a butterfly, if God leads me that way. And we didn't get there. But this ties into it, all right? God wants us to understand is, when we accept Christ, there has to be change. It's a constant life of change, right? Because, see, God wants us to do what He's leading us to do. And so this example for Peter was, Peter, I know you're Jewish, Peter. Did God know that Peter was a devout Jew? Yeah. Did God know he was raised that way? Yeah. And God said, I know this is your preconceived notion of what makes you right and clean. But that's not it anymore. That's not it. Okay? That's old news. The new news is Jesus Christ makes you right and clean. And so guess what, Peter? I'm telling you that it's not being of Jewish faith that is going to make you a Christian and get you to be with me. What's it being? It's being Jesus Christ and the salvation there. And so, and guess what, Peter? Peter didn't get to read the scripture that we read. We read in scripture in Revelations today. That there's going to be a great multitude of every kindred, every tribe, every race, you know, every nation in heaven. And I think if Jesus would have told Peter, hey, there's going to be a great multitude of every tribe, and he'd say, man, you know, there's something wrong with you. Because Peter's thought was, it was reserved for the Jews, reserved for the Jewish nations. And so we that have grown up in strict doctrinal churches sometimes want to put our own feelings on others And we don't accept people as readily as God wants us to accept people. And that was the message to Peter. Is, hey, Peter, if I've cleansed them, they're okay. I don't care if they're a biker. I don't care if they're a drug lord. If I change their life and I come in and they ask me and they receive me and they ask forgiveness, that's the way it's going to be. And you know what? Not always does the outside change, does it? Sometimes it does, but what is God focused on? He's focused on the heart. And so it's the heart that changes. And so with the way our fears drive us, we sometimes fear those that are different from us, even if they do accept Christ. And it becomes hard for us to minister to them. And so this whole passage that Peter would not have ministered to Gentiles, and Peter became a great minister to Gentiles, didn't he? Yeah, he did. He became a phenomenal minister to Gentiles. Why? Because he was willing to accept what God showed him as being right and not willing to accept what his mind told him as being right. And so that's where we gotta learn and live. So I think I preach again in about 3 weeks. We'll try to get to the butterfly. I know you guys were anxiously waiting to see how I was going to use a butterfly. You know, how I was going to use a butterfly. Maybe Thomas will be here that week and I'll tell him I still need my butterfly. But what I want you to know this morning is God loves everyone exactly like he loves you. If everyone out there has God's love within them, even if they are different from us, even if we are fearful of them, even if we just, you know, we are to love them like God loves us. And that's difficult. And fear is what keeps us often from loving others. Fear is what keeps us from loving. That's really the whole heart of the matter, is that fear keeps us from loving others as God wants us to love them. Peter couldn't love the Gentiles until God convinced him and hit him upside the head 3 times. And said, Peter, I did the work, not you. I did the work. If I want to do the work in this biker, I'm going to do it. And then you accept it. You accept that I've done the work. And we'll move on from there. If you love God this morning, which I believe y'all do, then you're commanded to love all those that also love God, but also to love all those that don't love God. And we can't let our fear stop us from doing that work of God and how he has it designed. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for your love, your kindness, your wonderful mercy. And this morning, I don't know why you led us in this manner, but you do. And God, we love when the Holy Spirit just works in our lives. And God, when you provide the things for us, it's amazing at times how God works. And I think about the song, I Will Rise. And God, if we are believers, we know that there is a day that we will rise to be with you. And God, we may be surprised at who all's there. Because you said that there's going to be a multitude of people in your kingdom of all types. And so God, we might be surprised, but you're never surprised. Because you see the heart and we only see the surface. Sometimes we like to think we know the heart of others. But you can't truly know the heart unless you can see the heart, and only you can see that. Help us, Lord, to be willing to accept those that are different from us. Help us to be willing to accept those that might cause us to fear and tremble. And help us, Lord, to reach out with the Holy Spirit, that we might show them the same love that you show them, so they might understand that they are welcome, even though they might be different, even though they might have a different upbringing. that God, they are welcome in your kingdom, and we need to welcome them into your kingdom here on earth and part of our family. Have your way this morning. Be with all those that are sick. Touch them. Go with us. Give us safety. Give us a week that we focus on you, God, that we might see your face in everything we do, that we might hear your voice everywhere we go, and that we are led by your Holy Spirit to share the good news of Jesus Christ to all lands. We ask it in the precious, wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.